We're here at Two River Theater in Red Bank, joined by David Greenspan, not only starring, but also adapted the show, The Bridge of San Luis Rey. And those who have read the Thornton Wilder novel know that it won a Pulitzer all the way back in 1928, but still relevant today because it's a story about love. It's a story about interaction between people. You tell us why it's relevant today, David.
Well, as you said, it's about relationships and love. It's also about how to live and how, as in other work by Thornton Wilder, particularly Our Town, how easily it is to take for granted every moment and how quickly life can disappear. You know, people's lives end very suddenly and unexpectedly. And for those who haven't lived fully or related in the best way, there's an even greater sense of loss.
Why did you feel it was necessary to adapt this and bring it to Two River Theater?
Well, the book was first brought to my attention by a composer, and he wanted to create a musical theater piece from it. And so I wrote a draft of it, a good deal of it in rhyme, and at that time I didn't know that you needed to get the rights. So after he said, well, let's get the rights, I said, well, anyway, so we sought the rights, but the estate wouldn't grant them to us. There was an opera in the works at that time, and they had the rights to the piece. And I sent the script to John Diaz, who's the artistic director here. At the time, he was at the Public Theater in New York, just in case we could ever get any traction on it. And he thought it would work very well as a play. But there was nothing to be done at that time. And eventually, I thought, well, so much time has passed, we're not going to get the rights for a musical work. So I did seek them as a play, but we still couldn't get the rights. And ultimately, the estate just came to us and said, if you want to proceed, go ahead. And I've refined the script over time and made some significant changes in the last draft, which is the one we're now presenting. And why do we do it? Well, one of the reasons also it was brought to my attention was in the wake of September 11th, when thousands of people's lives just disappeared so unexpectedly. And though there were other aspects to the attack, they shared with this story the idea that people's lives, that there's a disaster, and that there's a sudden end of people's lives. So that's part of what brought it to our attention. And it intrigued me. I like Thornton Wilder a lot. I like his plays. So I gave it a shot, and I didn't really think about it for a long time. It's just the guy said, you want to do it? And I just wrote an adaptation.
One of our employees at the radio station told me today, I told him I was headed down to speak with you. He said, I remember reading the book, I think he said, when I was 15. Do you remember when you first read this book?
When the composer brought it to my attention, I hadn't read it before, and have subsequently learned that it was a book to high school students would read, but it wasn't something that I read when I was young. I was in the drama department in high school, and so we read Our Town and The Matchmaker and Skin of Our Teeth, but I hadn't read the novels.
You were exposed to theater in general, I understand, from your father's record collection, basically.
Well, it wasn't even a collection. There used to be a radio program. I grew up in Los Angeles, and there was a radio program called Broadway Showtime. And my father, we didn't have a record player, but my father would record the radio program on his reel-to-reel tape recorder, and I would listen to these musicals incessantly. Ultimately, we did have a record player. We didn't have speakers even then. I don't know. We'd hook it up to my father's reel-to-reel. But anyway, I used to listen to these musicals, and I didn't really know the stories. I just pieced them together from the songs. It was only later that I actually saw film versions, or saw the shows, or was in some of the shows in high school and college. But that's how I was first exposed to theater, were the recordings of these musicals from the radio.
I do that much the same today. I've never seen Hamilton perform live, but I can tell you the story and the music from listening to the, you know, to the cast album so many times. And before I ever saw Phantom of the Opera, I never saw Michael Crawford perform it, but I knew every word, every scene in my mind. And that's part of the beauty of theater anyway, right, is that you're creating your own thoughts and ideas of what maybe that show would be if you've never seen it.
That's right. What's interesting, too, about our show is because I started it as a musical, as I said, a lot of it is in rhyme, and I realized in the rehearsal process that it's almost like a musical. It is like a musical without any music. Although between the rhymes and the rhythmic aspects of the language, the kind of propulsive aspect that the rhyme and occasionally fragmented sentences contain kind of propel the show, like I said, propel the show along, like it's like a musical theater piece. And we do it very simply. There's no automation. There's no, as we said, told you earlier, there's no sound, no music. It's just the actors' voices and the story.
Not only did you adapt the Bridge of St. Louis Ray, you star in the production as well. Tell us about your character.
Well, I actually play two characters in a sense. I play Uncle Pio, who is a theater director and a close friend of an actress one of the characters is an actress, Camila Pericole. And he has a complicated relationship with her, and he knows some of the other characters in the story. And I also function as a narrator, using bits and pieces of the plot of the novel to help piece together as we move through the scenes. So the character he's an odd fellow. He's enamored of women, but there's no indication he has a sexual relationship with Camila. In fact, it's clear he doesn't, and he seems to have no romantic relationships that are, you know, referred to in the novel. And the other characters do, so the admission is telling to some extent, or suggestive.
The audience here at Two River Theater is thoroughly enjoying this show. How do you feed off that as not only an actor, but knowing that it's a real recognition of your work? You adapted this so people could, you know, a brand new way. So how satisfying is that when you know the audiences are getting it?
Well, it's always enjoyable when an audience is enjoying a play. As an actor, and certainly as a writer, you're glad people are having a good time. Although I must say, you know, in all honesty, so much of what people are enjoying, though I think I've arranged the material in it hopefully in an interesting way, they're really enjoying Thornton Wilder. The characters, you know, I pulled from the dialogue. I've used narration and dialogue to create speeches and scenes. But they're really enjoying this kind of beautiful, beautiful story, these fascinating characters. And again, some of the dialogue from the novel. So I think it's really a tribute to Thornton Wilder as much or more than to me. That's what makes the story so compelling is his writing.
One thing that kind of struck me is the way the book, and I'm sure the way the show is structured, where it's much like we see in television shows now, where we see the current thing happen, and then we go back and find out about the lives of those who were actually involved and take us back. It's very common now. But back then, I'm sure it was kind of a very new way to look at things.
Yes, I suppose so. I'm not as familiar as I'd like to be with the literary scene in those days, but and how much flash. I'm trying to think in theater at that time. I don't recall flashback being used. And, of course, that's partly what's used. He's a character I actually cut out of the play. He's reconstructing the lives of these people, even though, as Thornton Wilder points out, he's really never able to figure out enough about them, but he's able to compile some stories about them. And I suppose it was unusual at the time. I think it's still somewhat unusual in a play. Not completely, but still to not only have three stories that are being reviewed, but there being crossover between the different stories. And I've mixed up even further to propel it as a stage piece. And it was funny, Tappenwalder, Thornton Wilder's nephew, he felt that when he heard earlier versions of this, he felt it was too faithful to the novel. And even this version is not that much different from that version. And what I've realized is I did change quite a lot. I created a dramatic event that's not in the novel. There are aspects of it in the novel, but the event is nothing like what I've created. And so what I've done, and I hope Thornton Wilder would be pleased, is to actually integrate things in a more complicated way, but one of which I think serves it as a piece of theatrical literature.
Do you have more fun performing, playwright, directing? What would you like to say is that when David Greenspan has talked about, what's the first thing you'd like people to say that either you enjoy the most or you feel that is your calling?
Well, it's hard to believe anyone will talk about me for very long. But, you know, in all honesty, I like them all equally. I don't direct as much as I used to, because I rarely direct, unless it's a solo piece of mine that someone self-directed. But my theater career is the acting and the writing is inextricably, it's just so linked. And I don't have a preference. I just focus on whatever I'm doing. I always perform in my plays, so there's a great crossover between the writing process and the performing process. And but I equally enjoy being in other people's plays. It's all just part of a theater career. There are other people who do it also who write, act in their work or don't act in their work, or act in other people's plays as well. So it's not unusual in that sense. So I see it as a whole, frankly.
Can you give us a real quick rundown of the cast?
You mean the actors?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mary Lou Rosado plays Doña Maria. She's a wonderful actress. She was actually in the first year of Juilliard program. She was a classmate with Kevin Kline and Patti LuPone. She's had a distinguished career as both an actress and a teacher. Steve Rattazzi, who I've worked with on a number of occasions in New York, is in our cast. Zach Infante and Bradley Tejea play brothers in the play. Liz Ramos plays Camilla Pericole, the actress. And those are the main people I think of. Julianne Hume is our Madre Maria, and we have a young actress, Sumeya, who is the young character, Pepita.
18th century Peru, not many people can necessarily relate to that, but once again, it's not about the actual, it's about what these people do, how they interact.
It's funny, you know, Thornton Wilder was so, has an encyclopedic knowledge of so many different things, and the book has aspects that you would, only somebody who was steeped in history would be able to put into the novel. But as you said, it's not a historical drama. It's not a period piece. It's very much about the ephemerality of lives and love, and about really about life, but it's the focus in the broadest sense is about love and how love transcends death and memory and lives.
What have you learned about yourself going through this process?
What have I learned? I don't know if I learned anything different than any other play. A couple things I've learned. One is that I've learned that the adaptation actually works. I didn't know if it would. You know, I was concerned it might be too static. But it seems to play just fine, and the audiences seem to enjoy it. I've also worked for many years with a terrific director, Lee Silverman. She wasn't available for this production, and I've admired Ken Rush Schmall's direction for some time. I've known him. We've done a couple of readings with him. And we just had a terrific collaboration. I really look forward to working with him again. He's been a wonderful director. He's really created a beautiful production. It's just luminous. And so it was nice to branch out a bit, to have a collaboration with a new director.
Is there a moment, the first time you performed this in front of the audience here at Two River, that you said, as you mentioned, it's they're accepting it, it's working. Do you recall the first time that you shook your head and said, yeah, this does work?
Actually, it wasn't in front of a paying audience. It's when the staff from the theater and the artistic director, John Diaz, came to see a late rehearsal. And, you know, people are honest on staff. They'll tell you, they're not going to get behind something enthusiastically if it needs a lot of work. Or maybe enthusiastic with the idea there's going to be more work. Or they'll be worried if it's just really not coming together. But they were so enthusiastic. And I'm sorry, I still have my doubts or concerns. But their enthusiasm was very, very encouraging. And so that was great. And I guess we did get in front of an audience, and they responded to the humor and to the pathos of the piece. It was reassuring. And, yeah, it's been very gratifying, very rewarding.
You caught the theater bug in elementary school. If you didn't make the move from L.A. to New York, what would David Greenspan's life be like?
I don't know. You know, from the time I was young, and certainly by the time I was in high school, and I knew I was going to head to a drama program in Southern California, at the University of California at Irvine, this was what I wanted to do, and I kind of felt like I had to do. I couldn't have anything else I could do. I wasn't good at anything else. And so it's hard to say. You know, people do maintain, as you know, some people stay or go to Los Angeles for film and television. Oh, there's some film and television, obviously, in New York, but it's primarily located in Los Angeles in terms of, American film and television. But I really wanted to go to New York. As I said earlier, I fell in love with musicals. I wanted to come to New York to be in musicals. That kind of career didn't exactly pan out. I've done some musical theater, but I found my way into writing, into more of an off-Broadway career. But that's what I came for. I wanted to do musicals. I always wanted to live in New York. And, you know, I grew up at a time where so many television programs were located in New York. It was the 60s, and so many things were actually set in New York. So New York had its own attraction. There was an element of glamour to it. It was a center of artistic energy. I think it still is very much that. So I always imagined heading out to the East Coast. I always wanted to live in New York, and I love living in New York. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
What show would give you most excitement? Somebody says to you, we want you either to, either to direct or to act in. And who would you like to do a play with that you haven't had the opportunity to, whether it be male or female?
The best answer I can give you, well, I can give you a couple answers. One, there are people I've worked with. I've worked with companies like Target Margin Theater, run by David Herskovitz. I just did a show, a long solo piece, a solo rendition of Strange Interlude for Transport Group Theater Company. I've worked for Playwrights Horizons on a few occasions. They produced two of my plays. So part of that, I would just love to work with them again. That's part of the excitement. Then, in addition to those groups, there are playwrights, and I'm not going to name too many really names, because there are a number of playwrights and directors who I would love to work for. Well, I will give you a few names. I'd love to work for Anne Washburn at some point. I'd love to work for Chris Shin, Stephen Adley Gerges. I'd love to work for, I'd like to work again with Ken and with Lee. I'd love to work for Doug Hughes again. I worked with him on a revival of The Royal Family on Broadway. He was a wonderful director. I'd like to go back. I was at the Public years ago under Joe Papp. I'd love to get back to the Public Theater. And that's a beautiful place to work. So there's not just one person or one. It's just many people. There's so much exciting writing going on, I think, in the American theater. Probably all over the world, too, but certainly in the American theater, young playwrights, older playwrights. I've worked for Terrence McNally. I'd love to work for Terrence again. Tripp Kullman directed a play of his I was in. I'd love to work with Tripp again. And so there are so many writers and directors I haven't worked with that I would love to work with, and all the people I mentioned before who I have worked with that I'd love to get back into a project with. There are just too many people to name or pick. I have no, in the question you've asked, there's no one show I've done. There's no one show I'd like to do. I just want to continue my career as long as I can.
Performing in any way, whether it be on stage, as a ball player, I find it fascinating that, you know, to hear that you had some trepidation. You know, are people going to like this, even though you've had all this success? And I guess it's the fact that you're always going to try something new, challenge yourself, and no one really knows. Maybe it's a performer. They don't know if their next CD or their next release is going to be as popular as the one before. How difficult is that to balance that out, having that kind of self-doubt a little bit going into a new production? But is that also where the fire is created?
You know, you never even know from performance to performance. You might have had a good show, you know, the matinee, and are they going to like it as much in the evening performance? You don't know. So it's always, there's always, you know, flutters. At least I get them. And certainly project to project, you know, the plays I've written most recently, I feel they get better and better. They're more interesting to me, probably because they're just interesting at the time. You hope, you're confident. I'm confident and hopeful that people will like them, but you really don't know until you get it in front of an audience. And then there's also the matter of if people don't like it or if you don't get a good review, whether that negates the worth of a play or of a performance. But you're always, you know, you're right. You're always, any new thing is, one is a challenge to your artistry, to your facility, to your ability, but it's also, it's unknown. And so you don't know what it's going to be like. And also, with any field, pretty one that demands mental and physical stamina, you know, how am I going to hold up in the next one? What am I going to be like next year? You know, eat a lot of chocolate, see if you can keep your memory going or whatever you need.
As people leave Two River Theater for the Bridge of St. Louis Ray, what's the conversation you want them to have in the car?
I suppose to consider the way Thornton Wilder lays it out, the essence of love in its fullest expression, not necessarily in romantic expression, but love of others, love of oneself, love of the world, and love of life, and how that relates to the way they're living. We had a very interesting experience the other night. We had a talk back, and one of the audience members asked me to repeat the last lines of the play. And then she started crying because she had recently lost one of her parents. And there's an idea introduced in the last speech in the play about that memory is not necessary for love. And she was very moved because she felt she didn't really know her parents after the death, that she really didn't know them. But what she took from the line was that experience still doesn't negate the essence, the impulse of love. So I guess what I'd like people to come away with is a consideration of love in its most expansive expression and how it relates to their life and just to life in general.
David Greenspan's been our guest here on the WBGO Journal, not only adapting this show, but also starring in The Bridge of St. Louis Ray here at Two River Theater. It runs through March 18th. People are loving the love in this play. Thanks to you, David, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.